I'd like to ask you to find your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to Titus chapter 3. And if you're using the books that we've given you in the seats there, Titus chapter 3 is found on page 1272. Page 1272. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know that we have taken that beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that gives all the pictures, all the component parts of love. And we've been going through that list for several weeks now, both in our morning and evening service. And today we come to that last section of that list where Paul is giving four superlatives, if you will. If you just want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and look at chapter beginning in verse 4, you'll see that Paul starts out with two positive commands. Love is patient, love is kind. And then he moves into a series of negative things, things that with Christian love is not. And then he gives the comparative idea there that Christian love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And then he ends with these four pictures that we have, that love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. So our topic this morning is Christian love bears all things. A picture that I think gives us an idea of what that is in Titus chapter 3. I'm not going to be looking at this passage in any way carefully, but I want you to just see the picture of love bears all things that's given to us here. Titus chapter 3, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak no evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. So as we've been talking about this topic of love for several weeks now, again, looking at the component parts of love, it's patient, it's kind, does not insist on its own way, is not rude, is not irritable, is not resentful. We've been looking at all of these topics, does not take into account a wrong suffered. We've been looking at all of these topics. Today we come to the fact that love bears all things. Now, we have to recognize that the Bible tells us that God is love. Twice in the 1 John chapter 4, that phrase is given to us. God is love. So part of God's very essence is love. And the beauty of Christianity is that God bestows and pours his love into our hearts so that we might display it to other people. God pours his love because he is love. He pours his love into our hearts so that we might love people. Lon Allison was the chaplain of Wheaton College a few years ago. And he talks about in his book, Possible, he talks about sitting down for hearing a lecture and a man started to say something, and he knew what he was going to say. until he was greatly surprised. The evangelist said this, "For God so loved the world," can you finish it? "For God so loved the world," say, so most of us know that verse. Beautiful verse. But the evangelist didn't say that day. He said this, "God so loved the world that he left you here." Kind of an interesting twist on it, isn't it? God so loved the world that he left Christians here. He left Christians here to bear witness, to testify, to rejoice in that love that caused God to send his only begotten Son. Now, it would be easy. In many respects, we'd all probably rejoice in this if, in fact, God had planned that the moment somebody receives Jesus as their Savior and Lord, that they'd be taken up into heaven. We would be spared a lot of trials, a lot of difficulty, a lot of heartaches here on this earth. But if that were the case, the world could not see the beauty and the compassion and the helpfulness of the love of God's people. So this morning our topic is love bears all things. And so we're going to look at the idea that love means that Christians are to live in compassion, sympathy, and helpfulness. God, because he loved the world, left you. He left me here. Now, this word that's translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love bears all things. One Greek scholar that I said, this is a very difficult word to translate in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The verse is stego. The Greek word is stego. It basically means to cover. So like you would cover a house with a roof, or you might erect a tent to be a covering for yourself. But metaphorically, the word was used to cover up a secret or to keep a secret. And so therefore, it has this idea of bears or endures. It's used four times in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, and then twice in 1 Corinthians. Let me just give you those verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, it says, "If others share the right over you, that we... If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we do not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to come to the gospel of Christ." So that's the word. They endure. They persevere. They bore up. They covered over difficulties. And this is used twice in 1 Thessalonians where Paul is talking about the fact that his spirit was troubled because of the didn't know what was happening with the Thessalonians. And so in chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 5, he uses this word that we translate bears. And it's the idea that Paul was so much in anguish that he was covering up his anguish. And so he was enduring the struggles in his heart until he sent Timothy to them to find out how they were doing. So bears all things. You could probably translate it that it protects all things, bears all things, it endures all things. It carries the idea of to hide the faults or to cover up the faults of other people. So we see here in Titus chapter 3, this beautiful passage where Paul, just look at me real quickly. Paul is saying to them, here's where I want your life to be. You're to be submissive to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient. Notice to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. He goes on and gets all these ideas of helpfulness and compassion and sympathy to people. And then in verse 3, he switches and he gives us a picture of what you were like, what I was like before you came to faith in Christ. Notice his list. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." Is that the type of person you'd like to invite over for dinner? That's what we were. Apart from Jesus Christ. You were living your life in malice and envy, hating others, being hated yourself. So Paul is basically saying, I want you to be kind to each other, to bear with each other, because this is what you once were. But now, look at verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope for eternal life. So, we're to be kind to each other. We're to bear each other's burdens. Because we were once not nice people. You were once living in hatred, hating each other, living in malice and envy. But when the kindness of God appeared, He saved you by the working of Jesus Christ. So my friends, if you are in Jesus Christ this morning, if you have professed Him as your Savior and Lord and acknowledged that before people, then your life has been changed. Therefore, you can be empowered by God to bear with one another's burdens, to bear one another's difficulties, to bear their weaknesses. We can do those things because the love of God is planted in the hearts of people through His Spirit. And so we can bear all things. So as we look at this idea that Christian love means that we're to grow in compassion, sympathy, and helpfulness, let me point out to you three things this morning that the Bible clearly tells us that we are to bear. The first one I want to mention to you is that Christian love means that you bear the burdens of others. You bear the burdens of others. Galatians chapter 6, 2. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is probably referring there to the law of liberty, Romans 8, 2. But probably more specifically, the law of love that Jesus gave us. A new commandment I give you, He says, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So your witness to the world is your love that you show to one another. And the world should be looking at churches like this and other places, and they should say, I don't understand it. But those Christians really love each other. Those Christians are really willing to come alongside and bear one another's burdens. You see, because the love of Christ empowers us to love others. You were left here to be a testimony to the great love of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. So may I ask you, how are you doing in that area of being a testimony to the love of God made known to us in Jesus Christ? So, my friends, I realize some of you may feel burdened today. I want you to know that you were never meant to carry your burdens by yourself. In Psalm 69, it tells us that God daily bears our burdens. I'm sorry, Psalm 68, verse 19. I think I said Psalm 69. Psalm 68, 19. God daily bears our burdens. And then in Psalm 55, it says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be forsaken. We can cast our burdens upon Him. I don't know what burdens you may be carrying, but I know that God does not want you to carry it yourself. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. So if you feel burdened and weighed down, know that you are carrying loads that God doesn't want you to carry by yourself. But not only are we to give our burdens and our cares and our anxieties, our heartaches over to God. But Galatians chapter 6:2 says that we're to bear one another's burdens. So your burdens were not meant to be carried by you alone. You can give them to God. You can also trust fellow Christians to help you with those burdens. That is what Christian love is. That's why you were left here, to demonstrate the love of Christ to one another. Somebody said that the church is, a definition of the church is to be to one another what Christ would be doing if he were still living among us. We're to love one another. Well, how can you do that? Well, let me just share with you a few things. Whether you have emotional burdens, physical burdens, spiritual burdens, relational burdens, mental burdens, whatever it is, financial burdens, you were not meant to carry them yourself. I remember I was at, some of you would remember the name Howie Hendricks. I was at a conference with him, and he was said that somebody wrote him a note, and he said, I wanted to ask you a question, but my question is sitting right next to me. And so, but it's the burdens that we're to care with each other. We're to carry those burdens. We can do that by our prayers. We can pray for one another. Many people have testified to the fact that the burdens were lifted as people purpose to pray for them. We can do that by our words. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. For the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. The Lord wakens me morning by morning, so that I may listen as a disciple. You, because Christ dwells in you, if you profess Christ as your Savior and Lord, have the power to encourage people with your words. So we can do it by our prayers. We do it by our words. We can also do it by our deeds. In John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, 17, 18 says, that anyone has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against them, how does the love of God abide in you? Who are the people in your circle of influence that you've closed your heart to them? You see, God says that the love of Christ can't dwell in you if you've closed your heart to a brother or sister in need. In the book, The Insanity of God, they tell the story of a pastor during the time of the communist reign over Russia. There was a pastor that was sentenced to imprisonment in Siberia. His family was left alone without any food, or and they went to bed that night, the mother and her children. They had a small crust of bread that they divided between them and a cup of tea that they each took a sip of before they went to bed. They went to bed hungry. About 18 miles away, a man was waking up, a deacon in a church. And as he was waking up from his sleep, he seemed to say that the Lord told him, get out of bed, harness your horse, hitch the horse to the shed, load up all the extra vegetables that the church has harvested, the meat and the other food that the congregation has collected, and take it to this particular pastor's family. And the man said, well, wait a minute, Lord, I can't do that. It's freezing out there. I might freeze to death. And he seemed to say, you must go. And they said, but the Lord, there's wolves out there. The wolves will eat my horse and they'll eat me and we'll lose all the food. I can't make it back. And it seemed to say that the Lord said to me, you don't have to come back. You just have to go. He went and took the food to the family, knocked on their door in the middle of the night and said, when you run out, I'll bring more. I think that phrase, you just need to go, might be a good model for us as a church, a motto for us as a church. When we know that someone's burdened, we just have to go. So Christian love means that we bear the burdens of others. Second thing that we need to see about Christian love is that Christian love means that you bear the weaknesses of others. In Romans chapter 15, we find these words. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings or the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So we're to bear with the weaknesses of other people. If they're young Christians in our midst, we have to recognize that they may not be strong in the faith, and we have to bear with them. Now, the passage of talking about weakness, as you know, is really talking about the idea of meat sacrificed to idols. It was a big issue in the early church, whether Christians should partake of meat that was sacrificed to idols. And that's what the last part of Romans chapter 14 is about. And then chapter 15 tells that we're to bear with the weaknesses of others. Let me just read you a couple verses from chapter 14. I know that I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but if it's unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of the brother. So, my friends, that's what we're to do. We're not to put a stumbling block in front of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And verse 19 says, So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. See, that's what Christian love is. Christian love means bearing with one another. And it means pursuing peace, pursuing well-being, pursuing building up one another. How well are you doing that? When do you know? Whom do you know that needs to be built up? Whom do you know that's discouraged? When it tells us there that we're to pursue what makes for peace, what makes for well-being and for the mutual upbuilding, that word pursue is often translated persecute. It's the idea of an intensity. It's an idea of rushing to help people, not allowing barriers to get in our way. We have to be willing to persecute the idea of helping those that need help. Don't put a stumbling block. That's what Christian love is. It's not putting a stumbling block in front of other people. So let me ask you this. What about your life is a stumbling block for other people? Are you living in the fullness of the reality of Jesus Christ? Many years ago, Catherine and I were at a funeral of an older lady. And we were, you know, kind of mixing with the people that were gathered there to, you know, comfort each other as you do at funerals and times around funerals. And I remember sitting in a room and talking about this lady that had died. And another lady just sat in her chair and she shook her head. And she said this, speaking about the person that died. Her life was just stepping stones. How often do we put stumbling blocks in front of people? How often do you live as a stepping stone to help other people in their walks with Jesus? So Christian love means that we're to bear with the burdens of others. We're to bear with the weaknesses of others. And the last thing I want to share with you this morning, that Christian love means that we bear with the offenses of others. 1 Peter 4:8 says, tells us that we're to keep fervent in our love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now, we have to be careful here. I am not talking about abuse. If you know people that are being abused, children whose lives are in danger, you're required by the state of Pennsylvania to report that. I'm not talking about abuse. Nor am I talking about the idea of Sometimes unrepentant sinners, their sins need to be made public before the congregation so that the rest may be fearful of sinning. I'm not talking about those things. But the idea behind this is that John MacArthur describes or defines this idea of bearing one another's burdens, being publicly silent about another person's faults. Again, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about the public discipline that the church has to sometimes engage in. But we're to be publicly silent about the faults of other people. Again, MacArthur tells us that this word that in 1 Peter 4:8, be fervent in your love to one another. The word fervent carries the idea of to strain or the idea of like a athlete getting ready to jump over the in a high jump at an Olympic competition. It's the idea of muscles being strained or being stretched. And so it's this idea that we're to go stretch ourselves in our love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. Love bears all things. It's the idea that we are quiet about insults and difficulties that others bring into our lives. We're not going about talking about them. Insults and kindnesses that people bring to us, we're quiet about them. We're covering them up. We're bearing them. Now, we've talked a couple of times, Martin, I think it was last week, talked about this again, the idea of forgiveness. And Christian people need to live in forgiveness with one another. And forgiveness means at least three things. It means that you don't, if you've forgiven somebody for an insult or an unkindness or a hurt, then you can't bring that area up to the person again. It also means that you cannot talk about that in a gossiping way. You're certainly free to talk to somebody that could be a counselor to help in the rectify the situation. And the third thing I want to share with you, it means that you cannot treasure that hurt or that offense in your heart. And we are so easy to do that, to treasure those offenses and hurts that we have. But Christian love bears with the offenses and hurts and unkindnesses that we receive. Christian love bears all things. We're to be fervent in our love towards one another. The abuses, the hurt, the unkindnesses, we're to bear with those. We're to remain silent. We're to cover them up. Unless, of course, there are other issues that I mentioned, the areas of abuse and unrepentant sinners. But we're not to go around talking about, you can't believe what she just said to me last week. Unless we're talking to a counselor that is there to help rectify the situation. So love bears all things. It protects all things. We carry each other's burdens. We bear with the weaknesses of others. And we quietly receive insults and unkindnesses. And my friends, as we do that, we are truly reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he kept you here. And so as we learn to bear all things with people, we reflect Christ. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts so that we can spread it to other people. Our Lord bears your burdens, casts all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. As we bear one another's burdens, we're imitating Jesus Christ. As we bear with the weaknesses of other people, we're imitating Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. We could say, not many strong. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may put to shame the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Jesus Christ bore with your weaknesses. You weren't noble, You weren't strong. You weren't mighty. You weren't wise. But Jesus bore with that so that you might have the fullness of the life of Christ, the full blessing of the life of Christ available to you. So as we bear one of those burdens, we're reflecting Jesus who bears our burdens. We're reflecting Jesus who bears our weaknesses. And we're reflecting Jesus who bears our offenses. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah chapter 65. I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call upon my name. I have spread out my hands all day long to rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good, following their own thoughts. That's what Titus 3 is saying that we did. We were following our own thoughts, envy, malice, hatred. But the kindness of God came. And so when we bear the offenses of others, we're reflecting Jesus Christ. So my friends, as we conclude this morning, I just want to remind you of the wonder and majesty of knowing Jesus. Sometimes it can get hard and difficult to love, to be fervent in our love, to be persecuting our love towards one another, to be going to those that need us. Sometimes that's difficult. If God so loved you, so also you ought to love one another. Ask Jesus to love people through you. Because you see, the love of God has been poured out in your hearts so that you may display that to other people. Ask Jesus to love people through you. Ask Jesus to strengthen you when you feel weary and tired of doing good. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not grow tired. We can mount up with wings like eagles because of the strength that Jesus gives his people to bear one another's burdens. So God so loved the world that he left you here. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we could have these time to think upon your word. Thank you for this unbelievable privilege that we have of having the love of Jesus dwell in us. And also the unspeakable privilege of being able to share that love with other people. I pray that you would help us as individuals and as a community of faith, as the body of Christ, to learn to love one another, to be fervent in our love for one another, to be, in essence, persecuting, to be wholehearted in our love for one another, pursuing peace, stretching ourselves to love each other. God, and we recognize that as we do that, that is a testimony to the world that Jesus Christ came from you. So God, help us to learn to love. Help us to love as Jesus did. And we pray that Jesus might love through each one of us. We ask this in his precious and exalted name. Amen.